Today my guest is Charles Schneider, who owns a family farm in the town of Livingston. Charles, how long has the farm been owned by your family?
1896. My grandfather purchased the farm, and I'm the third generation, and there's presently the sixth generation that's living in a house on the property. Hopefully someday may take it over. But my fifth generation is one that's doing all the work. I'm 95% retired, but hopefully it stays on because it's over 100 years and I'd like to see it continue.
Who is running it now?
My grandson, Brian Molinsky, who is a very energetic person. He's a full-time sheriff's deputy with Columbia County Sheriff's Department. He's overseeing the entire operation of the farm, plus he has a lawn and landscaping business that he does also. So he has a lot of irons in the fire, but he manages to get it done. We have about 50 head of beef cattle, and we do a lot of cropping of hay and that for other people.
Is Brian the son of Walter?
Yes, he is.
Could you explain to me who Walter married? Tammy, your daughter?
Yes, he married my second daughter, Tammy, and she's town clerk and very prevalent in selling real estate, and she's been doing that for a long time. Got a lot of accolades from Caldwell Bankers. You know, she's been associated with them right from the start.
You know, I live in Hudson Garden Apartments, but I knew after this winter I like to look, and it's good to know about that and maybe somebody to contact when I need to start looking.
She's had many repeat customers, and that's, as far as I'm concerned, shows sign of good service.
I think you mentioned what is raised on your farm. Anything else to add?
Well, we also rent out the choice best land to a neighbor who grazes corn and soybeans. That's the choice land. We farm the marginal land and a lot of neighboring property. I think he's doing right now about four other properties besides ours. At least four other properties. And we rent pasture land from another farmer that retired for the beef, because it's all natural. You know, they're grass-fed, grass and hay, primarily. A little corn right at the end, just to sort of top them off when we finish them. We don't finish many. We sell most of them as feeders to other people to finish. We have a lot of private sales between other people that want 2, 3, 4 head. To, they fatten them up and then they take them, sell them, and slaughter them for home freezer beef.
It would be nice if one time I could have a steak from your cow somewhere, if we could find.
Well, I think it's in 3 weeks we have one going to slaughter. Right now we're sort of like shopping around in the local supermarkets because we're out.
There isn't a chance I could have a cut from that?
Sure you could.
Could I? Sure. Please just put me in an order.
Sure, we can see that. We can arrange that.
I'd love to have something from that natural.
Yep. He also does 30 hogs with a partner, so they share that. So they've been doing that for approximately 5 years. They've been raising pigs.
Who's that?
My grandson. And he does it with a neighbor who is a grandson of a former farmer that is no longer in the business, but he's still got the urge to farm, so the two of them go together on it, and they raise 30 hogs. And they just slaughtered the last one. It weighed 240 pounds on the hanging. That's the hanging weight, and that's how they sell them, by hanging weight.
I'm sure you have nice bacon from it.
Oh, yeah. 18 pounds.
I bet you have some. Sometimes
yes,
you get
choice,
some.
Choice bacon. And the butcher says, I don't know where you buy your piglets, but he said, get your order in for next year because they have been some of the finest hogs I've butchered.
Gee, I loved some bacon too on order.
Really that good. We might be able to fix you up with because we have some now.
Oh, I'd love to have it.
Yeah.
Could you tell me a little bit of the story of the Schneider farm?
Well, this farm was actually was in the 1800s was known as the Becker farm. Man had two sons, and as they grew up, they didn't work well together, which sometimes happens. But anyway, he divided the original farm in half and put a son on each part of the farm as he retired. And apparently that didn't work out that well because my grandfather came along in 1896 and bought it from one of the sons. So the other half was sold somewhat later, and I believe it was in the 1930s, that farm was sold to a neighbor whose family still owns the property. But we did well, but we were sort of landlocked. We had neighboring farms that we couldn't use, so if we wanted more land, we had to go down the road, so to speak. And when you're going away from the homestead, it's more expensive and time-consuming to farm. But I did that for many years. At one time, I believe it was 1984, I had 300 acres of corn planted. And I sold a lot of corn. But that was really like the end of my crop raising because the price of corn fell precipitously. And I lost my shirt on that year. And I said, that's it. I'm just going to raise enough for the family. And we went out of the dairy business in 1987, and I just continued to raise animals for beef after that. But it was a tough struggle keeping the farm, because we had to sell off some land for housing and so on to pay the taxes and et cetera. And then when I got hurt in 94, it was really putting the crimps on me. It hurt a lot, and I had to change the direction. I went to work off the farm for 15 years.
And then
we still kept the farm going the best we could, but it was mostly outside help, like my son-in-laws and my grandchildren that were old enough to help.
Can you tell me a little bit about when you grew up as a child on this farm?
Well, I was an only child, so when there wasn't babysitters per se like there are today or daycare and all that. When my parents were a working couple, they ran the farm together, and my mother worked right alongside of my father. And of course, when they went to work, I was drug along with them wherever we went, whatever we were doing. If we were picking fruit, I was out in the orchard. If we were making hay, I was out there somewhere. Sometimes I got little jams because I was pretty young and getting away sometimes. And luckily, I made it through everything, but I did have a few instances where I got scraped up. But anyway, like I said, I was in the barn feeding cows, feeding calves at a very young age, so I've been doing it for a long time. I'll be 80 years old in a couple months, so.
You don't look it.
Well, considering what I've been through in the last 7 to 8 months, it's had major surgery twice in the last 8 months. So, but anyway, I tried to keep going.
So was it a grandfather or a great grandfather that came in 1890?
It was my grandfather. He was actually related to a prominent family in Greenport, New York, the Brewa family. Because his mother was a Brewa, and so he was a direct cousin with Michael Brewa, who started the Brewa farm in Greenport. They peddled milk for quite a number of years, and he was actually the sponsor that got my grandfather over here. Because back in those times, you had to have a connection, so to speak, to help get you over. My grandfather came from Alsace-Lorraine, and that was it's a border country, a border town. And one year you'd be French, and the next year you'd be German. It didn't, my grandfather used to tell me I could speak both languages because I was getting, one year I'd be learning German, the next year I'd be learning French. And he was actually in the French cavalry for a short time.
Tell me, was that way back in?
Well, I would say about 1888, somewhere in there, 1889, because he came over here in 90. Because he always said, his commanding officer says, George, you better get out if you can get out, because I don't know if we're going to win the next one.
So I know he was on the French side.
Yep. He was basically, he leaned to the French side because he had a general that he idolized, a French general that he idolized for years. In fact, his picture always hung on the wall. He was Catholic when he came over, but he married a Protestant and converted and went to the church here in Livingston, the Reformed Church. But it's funny to me now, he spoke of Walter and Tammy. No, she's Catholic because she married a Catholic. So, how life is, it flip-flops back and forth.
As Charles said, your daughter then married a Catholic, so became she's Catholic.
Which was the Molinsky family in Hudson were an old, large family, so they have a lot of history in their own right. But like I said before, it's just life has a way of balancing out. And I believe my daughter, she met an old friend of the family was it 2 years ago in Florida? And he had been real friendly with my grandfather because I think this friend was 89 when we met him. And we got talking about religion, and he walked in the bedroom and came out and gave her a pair of beads, rosary beads, that my grandfather had given him when he was a teenager. So, it was really, I broke up in tears because, something like that, we just, you never expect something like that to be.
It's a family thing, back at the family.
Came back into the family because, he was a very, staunch Catholic. And when Tammy said, I'm Catholic now, and he didn't hesitate for a moment, went in and brought out those rosary beads.
I know how
important. He says, these were your great-grandfathers. So anyway.
But do you know where in Alsace-Lorraine?
I've got lots of paperwork on it, but I can't just towns just I can't remember exactly.
But he came in 1890
to this country, and like I said, he bought this worm in 1896. And in those times, you were working for a couple of dollars a month in room and board. So, to do something like that, you had to have a lot of friends, people to back you. You had to have a doctor, a lawyer, somebody that had some money and influence to get you established to be able to buy a farm, undoubtedly.
Unbelievable. Do you know he was just a person that they just...
Somebody liked their work ethic, and when they had the desire and the opportunity to take on this. I know his farm actually went bankrupt at one time when my uncle was running it for a short time between my grandfather and my father. And my father came back and paid off the debt and got it out of bankruptcy. And that was right just before World War II. In very tough times. In fact, I remember exactly, my father said they had $90, a 1932 Chevrolet coupe, me and my mom. when he came back to take the farm over and get it out of bankruptcy. Because he was working on a neighboring farm when my uncle was running it.
So they were in the States.
It was always stayed in the family, but one family member didn't do so well. It was tough times. But my dad, I guess, maybe had a little more work ethic and a little smarter sense. My mother was the business mind. She kept track of the money, bills, and she was the hardest working person in the family, believe me. And everybody that knew them would tell you that.
Isn't that great? They worked as partners.
Oh, definitely. Most definitely. But she was the push. She was from a farm family in central New York. And anyway, large family. I think there were 13 children in that.
My goodness. It's odd. I thought maybe you'd come from a large one yourself.
No, I was the only sibling from that group. And in 1957, I sort of made him upset because I volunteered for the draft and went in the service. Because I didn't want to get a farm deferment. I didn't like the connotation of getting a deferment to stay home on the farm. You know, this was just prior to Vietnam, coming on later on. But anyway, I went in 57 and I wound up in Germany. Lo and behold, I was stationed in Berlin. And I was there over 6 months overseas. And then my dad got ill. And had major surgery. Friends and neighbors all came in, pitched in, helped my mother. And the Red Cross sent me home to get things back to sort. So I cut my active duty time short because it was a 2-year draft deal. But I cut that short, but they made me go in the reserves. So I was in the service for 7 years instead of 2. I had to do active duty reserve work and then inactive duty. Military's a great character builder. I feel definitely a character builder.
Could you tell me your lovely wife's name and your children?
My wife is Beverly. She is from an old established family in Kent. Her maiden name was Falpel. And I had 4 children. My oldest daughter is Kathy. She's an RN at Columbia Memorial Hospital. Worked there over 35 years, I believe, at least 35. And my second daughter was Tammy, the one that you know. My son is James Schneider. He is in just outside of Concord, North Carolina, Albemarle, actually, the town. He's an extrusion die designer, works in plastics, making fencing and all that fancy ornamental plastics. And my youngest one, Jody, she's in Shepherdstown, West Virginia. And she's a health and safety expert and works for ConocoPhillips Petroleum.
So Tammy's son is carrying on the tradition.
Yep, and he has 2 boys. And the youngest of the 2 boys, we call him Farmer Bradley, because he is. He may only be 7 years old, but he knows farming. He knows every piece of equipment. Usually tries to match one in the toy scale. If Daddy buys one, he wants one only in the toy scale. And he has one heck of a collection of toys, farm toys.
That's unbelievable.
But he's the one I got my hopes on, and he's got his own calf right now, 7 years old. He feeds it twice a day with bottles. He's training it to bucket. One of the mothers of having the calves, she just didn't want to take it. She disowned the calf, and so it was an orphan. So Bradley took it on. He's raising it.
Charles, it's so nice to be able to talk to you in your home on Schneider Road and meet Beverly. You're so gracious to let me have this interview. I really appreciate all of it.
I'm always good to share history and family history, town history, whatever it be. But I get asked questions all the while because, you know, when you're 80 years old, you've seen a lot, but you've never seen it all.
We're finishing. Thanks again. Bye now.